Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. To give someone a gift face to face is a very pleasant thing. It makes you happy to see them open the present and be happy about it, and it makes them happy to receive something. To give a gift anonymously may be an even greater joy, knowing that someone is touched by your life without knowing who really it is that gave them the present. And to give a gift that will help someone you don't even know, in a way that they don't know who gave it, seems even more selfless. Jesus' description here points out acts of charity or kindness done by believers. And it would be easy for us to draw the conclusion from this text that the main point is, go and do good things. But that's not really what it says in the text. He simply paints a picture of what happens on Judgment Day. The implication is there, but not the command. And this helps us to understand how we should view the Bible. The Bible certainly contains rules, but it is not primarily a rule book. It is a light to our path, but its main focus is not to tell us how to live, but to shine a bright light on the person and work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. St. John says, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Jesus' task and purpose is not to make us good people, but to save us and give us everlasting life, even when we are still bad people. He forgives all our sins. He shows us a love that we in no way deserve. He adopts us into God's family so that our home is in heaven. But in doing that, there is a change that takes place. We cannot be unaffected by Jesus' overwhelming love, his perfect charity. Knowing that we have been rescued from the depths of hell, from the jaws of Satan, certainly has a powerful impact on us. We become so thankful to God for this gift, and we want to show that gratitude in every way possible. So how do we do that? We strive to love and forgive other people in the same way that God has loved and forgiven us. We point them to the love of Jesus that covers and pays for all the sins of the world, so that they too may be delivered from death and have the peace that passes all understanding. That contentedness of being able to face God because of Jesus' forgiveness. We can think of dedicating our lives to God, living every moment for God, and serving God in every way we possibly can. Those are all good and proper things. But we should be careful so that those things don't turn into self-righteousness when we begin to say, "Look at all the good things I'm doing for God." What is the attitude we see in the believers in the Day of Judgment? Of course, they are thankful for Jesus' words, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." They know that they do not deserve it, but that it is a gift and an inheritance. And then Jesus lists the evidence of their faith shown in their good works. "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was in prison and you came to me." The believer's response sometimes surprises us. "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you in prison and come to you?" But that answer shows that these actions of love and charity had become so much a part of the believer's life that they didn't even always think about doing them while they were doing them. Those actions simply flowed from their faith. At first, it is something that has to be taught and learned and practiced. We train little children to say please and thank you. We always need to be reminded to be kind to our neighbor, to honor our parents, not to kill or steal or commit adultery. The Ten Commandments are always there to show us what is good and right. But the Holy Spirit continues his work in us through the gospel. Those good and righteous deeds never become completely natural for us, but they do become more and more a part of our daily practice of our Christian faith. And we don't regard them as payback to God, but as thank offerings to God for his free and full salvation. When we help our neighbor, even with the smallest things, Jesus regards it as though we are doing it for him. And so as we look around, we see Jesus in our neighbor, in the sense that we want them to know Jesus' love, and that we should do for them the same things we would do for Jesus. Again, it is the overwhelming love and kindness and mercy of God that he regards our frail and faltering works as pleasing to him because of the love of Christ. In many ways, we do good works not for ourselves or for God, but for our neighbor, that he might see the light of Christ shining in us, that they might glorify our Father who is in heaven. Jesus himself says, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So we ask God to keep our eyes focused on Jesus' love, so that we may love him in return and show love toward our neighbors, that they may learn to love God also and be saved. We love because he first loved us. Because of his love, we love. Because of his love, we inherit heaven. Because of his love, we are loved forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore.